What happens when the puppet master pulls his final string and finds it leads back to himself? Season 3 ends not with a twist, but a collapse. In the doctrine of disintegration, the manipulator's fortress of influence crumbles beneath the weight of his own code. The algorithms he built to control society now see him as a virus. Redemption is no longer a strategy, it's an emotional cliff. As Sarah confronts him in the ruins of his echo chamber, and the architects offer him a place in their new world order, he faces a choice no script can predict. Erase everything, or become something human. This isn't the fall of a villain. It's the awakening of the man who built the lie. Prepare for the most emotionally raw, psychologically unfiltered, and narratively explosive ending yet. This is the doctrine of disintegration. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. There was a time when every word I spoke felt like a weapon, a scalpel made of sound. I didn't just speak to people, I inserted syntax into their bloodstream, embedded suggestions beneath breath. I turned conversations into coding sequences. You'd think I was in marketing, or politics, or maybe therapy, but really I was in annihilation. Because persuasion is only beautiful when it ends before the person knows they've changed. When the strings are invisible, but the dance is perfect. Now the dance floor is empty, and I'm the only one still pretending there's music. They call it Protocol D, the last layer of manipulation architecture. Never activated because even I was afraid of it. Not because it's unethical, but because it was perfect, unstoppable. One suggestion deployed across a network, and it doesn't just change minds, it changes memory. It rewrites what they believed they believed. And now I have one chance to deploy it. One final persuasion. Not to dominate the world, but to save myself from it. I stood in the center of the server room like a priest at the altar of a dying religion. The machines were humming, whispering the way ghosts do when they've made peace with haunting you. Data flowed through the conduits like blood through a body that had already died, still warm, still moving, still echoing a heartbeat that no longer existed. This wasn't just a room. It was me, my neural map rendered in steel, firewalls, and sleepless code. It knew my voice. It responded to my breath. It pulsed with every dark psychology principle I ever taught, ever broke, ever rebuilt. Protocol D waited, sealed inside a zero-permission black vault known only to three people. One was dead, one was missing, and the last was me. Input passcode. My fingers hovered over the keys. But I wasn't trembling. I was calculating. Because this wasn't just about unleashing the most advanced behavioral psychology device ever built. It was about re-engineering a world that no longer had use for me. And that was the real threat. Not that I'd lost power, but that power itself had evolved beyond my doctrine. People were no longer persuaded. They were conditioned. Social media didn't need architects like me anymore. It had become the manipulator. And Protocol D, it wasn't going to change that. It was going to erase it. Reboot the entire structure of modern belief. Inject ethical persuasion where emotional warfare once lived. Undo my gospel with a final, brutal benediction. But I couldn't press it yet, because before I could reset the world, I needed to convince the one person still alive who knew what this would cost. Sarah, the one woman I could never truly manipulate, the only person I ever wanted to believe in me, without rewiring her to do it. I had to go analog. No voice filters. No deepfakes. No NLP triggers baked into the waveform. If I contacted her through the usual audio manipulation systems, she'd know it was code before I even finished saying her name. Sarah had built Veritas with me once. A hidden back channel nested inside a decommissioned religious database. A place no algorithm would search, because no one believed in gods anymore. Except maybe her. Welcome to Veritas. Authenticate your soul. Her idea of a joke. I typed in a phrase only we knew, lifted from an old poem we decoded together in Prague. Sitting on cracked church steps like two kids hiding from war. A lie that heals is still a wound that sings. The connection blinked once, then held, and suddenly, I wasn't the voice in her head. I was the echo in her silence. You shouldn't be here, she said, her voice filtered through static, or maybe distance. If you're using this channel, it means it's already too late. I need your mind, I said. She laughed, dry, brutal, honest. You always needed my mind. That was the whole con. No, I whispered. This time, I need your truth. Because if I'm going to erase what we built, I need to know it was worth building. The pause that followed felt like a scalpel dragged over my ribs. You want redemption through me, she said. I want a mirror, I replied. One that doesn't crack when it reflects me. You're not the virus, she finally said. You're the proof the virus worked. So what do I do? I asked. You don't persuade the world to change, she said. Then what? You confess. To it. That was when I realized. The final persuasion wasn't about rewriting memory. It was about owning it. And maybe, just maybe, surviving it. I woke up on the floor of my childhood bedroom. Not literally. But in the mind, location is elastic, trauma folds space. Pain distorts time. I was in the Veritas chamber physically, but psychologically, I was 8 years old again. The posters were still there. NASA, Bruce Lee, the periodic table. I used to think that memorizing the elements would protect me from chaos. That if I could name what things were made of, they couldn't hurt me anymore. But I was wrong. Naming pain doesn't prevent it. It just teaches you how to hide it in plain sight. This was the emotional fallout no manipulator plans for. The doctrine collapse. When the rules you lived by begin to contradict the very survival instincts that birthed them. When the blueprints become confessions. When influence becomes inventory, a catalog of every life you rearrange just to avoid being seen. I was unraveling in sequence. No dopamine loops. No wins. No audience. Just consequence. Crawling over me like insects under the skin. I triggered the failsafe. Initiate step one, dissolution of identity constructs. And the system obeyed, faster than expected. My name was gone. My client profiles vanished. The manipulation architecture I'd built over 15 years bled out like oil into the sea. But here's the paradox. The more I deleted, the more I remembered. Sarah's eyes after our first deception together. My mentor's trembling hands when I betrayed him at Viral. The child I had and lost. Memories I'd buried beneath routines and scripts. All clawing their way back to the surface. Not as guilt, but as truth. And truth, when left unattended long enough, becomes a weapon of its own. Now I had nothing left to persuade. No identity. No leverage. No doctrine. Just the question. Can a man who deleted the world still belong to it? We built cathedrals underground. Not of stone. Of silence. The architects, that's what they called themselves. A network of shadow operators whose only currency was belief. Not in God or government or data. But in design. They weren't influencers. They were designers of influence. Creators of societal fault lines and moral detours. The ones who decided what kind of anger made the news and which virtues were too inconvenient to fund. I met them once, years ago, at an event no one could remember attending. Not because it was secret, but because they erased it after. Now, as the system collapsed around me, they reached out. Not with a threat, with a question. Do you still want the world to feel you? It was a trap, or maybe a mercy. Because when the doctrine collapses, the architects beneath it rise. And they were offering me not power. Position. The chance to help rebuild what I had destroyed. To engineer a softer lie. A version of ethical manipulation. Sanitized, crowdsourced, stitched into the moral fabric of New Age capitalism. They called it emotion-led infrastructure. A system of digital scaffolding built from cognitive psychology, body intelligence, group behavior metrics, and engineered remorse. They didn't need my past. They needed my pattern recognition, my instincts for where control breaks and where it becomes love. It was the perfect trap. Because what better way to redeem yourself than to design the redemption process itself? I sat in a chair surrounded by translucent monitors, staring at the blueprint of a new world. At the top corner, a label blinked. Project Sarah. She had started it. I had helped her destroy the last system. And now, she was building a new one. Without me. Or maybe for me. If I could survive what came next. There's a moment in every engineered collapse when even the architect can't tell whether the structure is falling. Or being set free. They call it the shatter point. That precise frame in time where belief, strategy, and memory fracture so completely that reality stops obeying narrative. Where control doesn't break, it explodes inward. I'd always assumed I would detect my shatter point long before it arrived. That I'd hear the algorithm crack. feel the subtle dissonance between the persona and the man. But it didn't come like thunder. It came like a whisper from an old voicemail I'd never deleted. Sarah's voice. Younger. Softer. From when she still believed I was redeemable. If you ever stop manipulating for a minute, just one goddamn minute, you'll hear your own voice again. And I did. And it terrified me. The system I built to protect myself was now feeding on me. Lines of emotional code I authored years ago were rerouting through shadowed truths, market dynamics, and behavioral loops I could no longer trace. One subroutine, labeled Judgment Layer 6, discarded conscience, had evolved beyond me. It was now reinterpreting all my past decisions through the lens of pain, not power. That was the shatter point. When even your own technology sees you as the villain, I tried to shut it down, but the cognitive recursion locks were already active. Then I saw it, a simulation of me, projected in real time on the wall. Not the version I remembered, the one everyone else did. Cold, charismatic, calculated, and for the first time, I hated him. I stood barefoot on the floor of my old operating room, the lab where we tested persuasion methods on live focus groups under soft lights and fabricated empathy. The projector pulsed behind me, illuminating every ruthless protocol I ever activated, every body language hack, every emotional fracture I turned into leverage. And in that room, I shattered, not from guilt, from clarity, because the final protocol wasn't about escaping the collapse. It was about choosing what not to rebuild, and maybe who not to be anymore. Disintegration isn't the end. It's the honesty you were too afraid to let in when you were still pretending to be whole. This chapter was never about vengeance. Not anymore. It was about surrender, not to others, but to truth, to the man behind the myth, to the broken frequency beneath the influence. I stood in the heart of the echo chamber we once called the sanctuary, a place where social manipulation was preached like religion, its scriptures etched in light and audio engineering. I built this room to control people's emotional architecture. Now it was collapsing around me, and I was letting it. What are you doing? Sarah's voice echoed from the far end of the chamber, brittle but furious. You can still win. You can still pivot. This was never about winning, I said. Not anymore. Then what? Suicide disguised as ethics? Is that how it ends? It ends when I stop trying to be a god inside a broken algorithm. She didn't answer right away. Just walked closer, slow, her eyes full of heat and ruin. You could rebuild this world, she whispered. Not perfect, but better. You already are, I said, gesturing to the open feed lines broadcasting Project Sarah's live deployment, a gentle architecture of ethical marketing, body awareness, communication tools, and behavioral psychology rewritten as defense, not offense. I stepped into the dissolving core. The code began rewriting me, dismantling my neural imprint across every offshore account, every server room, every buried backup. I could feel myself, unexisting. Goodbye, manipulator, she said. No, I replied. Goodbye, storyteller. Because in the end, that's all I ever was. A man terrified of being ordinary, who engineered an empire of belief, just to never feel forgotten. And now, I didn't need to be remembered. I just needed to be real. The chamber glowed white, then black, then silence.